Well, this morning I want to look at a passage of scripture that you would never look at this time of year. Because it's a passage of scripture that we would normally read at Christmas time, all right? And I'm speaking of the passage that we find in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, particularly verses 26 to 38. So if you're confused right now, so am I, because I'm not sure if this is a Christmas text that we're using on Mother's Day or a Mother's Day text that we usually hear read at Christmas time. But it's a passage that applies at either time, so take a look at it as I read it. Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How will this be, because I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Mary answered, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Now let me let you in on a little secret. I confess I really don't like preaching a message on Mother's Day or Father's Day, because for many, it can be a rather sensitive day. But the reality is, I can't think of a time when it's more difficult to be a Christian mother than today. You see, we live in a day and in an age where it seems that virtually everything is pitted against the family. We live in a day and in an age where almost daily we send our kids into a world of drugs and alcohol and pornography. And we're almost afraid for them to get past the end of our driveway because we want to protect them at all costs. But then you realize that even though we might be able to keep our children safely inside the walls of our homes, all kinds of things are still streaming in, right? Just go online and you will hear language you would rather they didn't hear. And you'll see lifestyles portrayed that you wish they weren't exposed to. And all that to say that the world is pretty much aligned against the family. I mean, we used to feel that schools would reinforce what we're teaching at home, but that's certainly not the case anymore. Because for the most part, the stance that our school system has taken certainly goes contrary to what God's Word espouses. For example, the world just evolved by accident, or the Bible is just a collection of myths. Abortion is an acceptable alternative to unwanted pregnancies, and in more recent days, that your gender can only be determined by you, and that you need to explore and exploit all options for your happiness and well-being. You see, today, more than ever, our children are being exposed to all kinds of worldly and humanistic things that we would just as soon they not learn. And then on top of all that, without a doubt, society is systematically redefining what family is and is tearing down the importance of motherhood. I read recently that women who choose to stay at home with their children are second-class citizens because they haven't reached their full potential in life. Are you kidding me? A few years ago, I read a comment made by Tony Campolo, you may remember him, who says that his wife is a brilliant woman. She has a PhD and is capable of pursuing a very profitable career, but she elected to stay home with her children when they were young. And her decision didn't bother her at all, except when other women would ask, "What do you do?" She would answer, "Well, I'm a homemaker. I stay home, and I take care of my children and my husband." And they would usually respond with, "Oh," and then sort of ignore her from that point on. So Mrs. Campolo came up with a different response whenever she was asked what she did. And on the next occasion when she was asked that question, she said, "I'm socializing to Homo sapiens in Judeo-Christian values so that they'll appropriate the eschatological values of utopia. What do you do?" And true to form, they would blurt out something like, "I'm a doctor," or "I'm a lawyer," and then wander off with that dazed deer in the headlight look. You know something, with the value of motherhood under attack, it seems to me that it should be the responsibility of the church to lift up motherhood once again, the way that God intended it to be in the first place. Because more than ever, there are so many things that are tearing down the meaning and importance of family and of motherhood and parenting. So this morning, I want to look at Mary as a model of motherhood, because she too had some very difficulties to deal with in her situation. And let me point out some of those difficulties. First of all, Mary had to deal with a negative reputation. We know that. We just read the scripture passage that way. And if you are at all versed in general Bible knowledge, you know that the child that Mary bore was conceived of God. We understand that, right? But almost no one else did back in the day, and only Joseph, after he was visited by an angel and after this fact was revealed to him, accepted the story. But the rest of the community, as you know, wouldn't accept it. And I think you can understand why. Here's this little town of Nazareth, where everyone knows everyone else's business, right? Maybe you've lived in a small town like that. Tongues must have been wagging. Gossip must have been rampant. Oh, look over there. There's Mary. She's pregnant, and she's not married. In fact, years later, we even discover that in John chapter 8, there is a scene where Jesus is being confronted by the religious leaders, and they point out to him, and they say, "We are not illegitimate children," indicating that even as Jesus grew into adulthood, he was still perceived as an illegitimate child. So first, Mary had to deal with a negative reputation. By the way, there are more and more mothers these days that have to deal with this from their past. I mean, what would you say to a child who comes to you and says, "Well, you were pregnant before you were married. Why are you... Who are you to lecture me on morality?" Or, you know, "You've been married and divorced several times. Who are you to talk to me about the sanctity of marriage?" Or from the stories I hear, "Mom, you were a real party animal when you were young. Who are you to tell me what time I should come home at night?" Without a doubt, those kinds of situations can certainly be difficult to deal with. But I believe with God's help, it can present a teachable moment. With God's help, it can be an opportunity, even a stepping stone, for teaching our children that as Christians we're saved by God's grace and that He has forgiven us of our past sins. And that we're not going to repeat past sins, but rather teach our children not to repeat them either. Second, Mary had to deal with something else. She had to deal with poverty. Poverty. In case you haven't noticed, everything in the Bible indicates that Mary and Joseph were poor. Jesus, the Son of God, was born where? In a barn. He was wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger. A very meager beginning indeed, and throughout his life, we're constantly reminded of the poverty he was in. It's possible that maybe as a mother, as a family today, you're feeling the financial pressures. Maybe you're not able to give your child all the things that other children get. And maybe you feel it's not fair that you can't buy those designer labels that others are wearing. And the pressure is on to make trade-offs and maybe even go into debt to make sure that your child gets everything. I want to encourage you this morning to resist that temptation. And to use the opportunity to teach important lessons. I believe our children need to learn that the most valuable things in life, money can't buy. And that the things you spend lots of money on only last for a while, and then they're gone. Some years ago, I read an article in an old Reader's Digest magazine about a woman named Jean Barron, who lived in an old mobile home with her teenage son. She said the house was structurally unsound. The plumbing always leaked. In fact, this woman was ashamed when her son brought friends home because of their meager surroundings. But one day she learned that her son's best friend, who had all the material things anyone could ever want, had run away from home. And she said, "I was puzzled. So I asked my son, why?" And he explained it this way. He says, "Well, Mom, at their house, they had a lot of environment, but not very much love. Here we have lots of love, but not very much environment." So Mary had to deal with a negative reputation. She had to deal with poverty. Here's a third difficulty that Mary had to deal with. She had to face the fact that people hated her child. People hated her child. You know the story. When King Herod heard about Jesus, he tried to kill him. And so Mary and Joseph had to flee to Egypt, where they lived as strangers, in order to protect Jesus. You know something? We live in a world where we can either influence our children, where we can make a difference in their lives, where we can get involved in the things that they do and that they learn and that they are involved in. But listen, often that will come at a cost. Or we can just assume that the influences that our children will be exposed to, that things others will do, will impact their lives, that impact their lives won't matter in the least, and hopefully they'll turn out all right. And my question is, what kind of effort are you making today in the life of your child that will have lifelong effects? In fact, that question can be extended to almost everyone here this morning. What kind of an effort are you making today in the life of your child that will have lifelong effects, Mom or Dad, even Grandma or Grandpa, Aunt or Uncle? Maybe you're a caregiver and you have the opportunity to make an effort to have that child that you're caring for impact their lives in a way that will have lifelong effects. Thomas Edison once said, I didn't have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence which lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I should never likely have become an inventor. And Edison writes, "I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of different mental caliber, I should have turned out badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, and her goodness were potent powers to keep me in the right path. My mother was the making of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing to me." What a loving tribute to a blessed mother. And most certainly, we need to discipline and train our children to respect adults and to respect authority. I know that that's counterculture. But parents need to realize that these are dangerous times for our children. And we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to protect them. Okay, here's another difficulty that I want to touch on that Mary had to deal with. It's not super clear, but I believe it's worth mentioning, especially in our culture, especially in our day and age. And it's this. Mary had to raise her children as a single mom. Now, we know that Joseph was with her, at least until Jesus was 12 years old, when Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem. But after that, we never hear about Joseph again. And we live in a world that is filled with a lot of single parents. And there are various reasons why that's the case. Could be because of a divorce. It could be because one partner died early. Whatever the reason, I can't imagine how hard it must be to be a single parent and to carry that load alone. If that describes you or one of your children, may God give you the strength to carry on. May God give you the grace and the wisdom that you need day by day. So Mary had to deal with a negative reputation. She had to deal with poverty. She had to face the fact that people hated her child. Mary had to raise her children as a single mom. Here's one more difficulty that Mary had to face, and that is Mary had to deal with a child that was rejected and abused. You know something, I think that's one of the hardest things that we do as parents, right? It hurts when our children have to deal with rejection. It hurts us when our children are mistreated. Somebody once wrote, I can remember when my son came home crying because no one would eat lunch with him in the lunchroom. I wanted to go to school and beat those kids to within an inch of their lives. And every time I saw one of my children rejected or left out, I hurt more than they did. Can you imagine how Mary must have hurt as she saw Jesus being rejected? Some of you may remember Jerry Clower, a comedian of yesteryear. I won't even ask if you've ever heard of him. This was a comedian whose size would make you think, or would make most people think, that he was a professional football player. Anyway, he tells the story of a time when his son was a field goal kicker for his high school football team. And one day his son had a chance to kick the goal that would give his team the lead and maybe even win the game. But the kick went wide of the goal. That happens, right? I mean, this is high school football. Well, a man about four rows from where Jerry Clower was sitting, he jumped up and he began heckling loudly. Who is that kicker anyway? He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn of the football. And he went on and on ridiculing Jerry's son. Clower said, I took all I could, and then I made my way through the crowd, and I sat down next to that guy, and I looked him in right in the eye and said, you need to thank Jesus that you're still alive. The guy said, what do you mean? Clara said, that's my son you're ridiculing. And the only reason you're not dead right now is because I'm a Christian and Jesus won't let me kill you. You know something? It's pretty tough, isn't it, when our children aren't treated the way that they should be. Do I see some nodding heads from parents? Yeah. By the way, do you remember what Simeon told Mary when Mary and Joseph arrived at the temple to present Jesus to the Lord as was required by law? In Luke 2, verse 35, we read these words. Simeon said, a sword will pierce your soul. You know, Mary must have felt that when the people hurled all sorts of accusations at him, oh, he's demon-possessed, or Jesus is guilty of blasphemy, or he's crazy, or he's a drunkard. I can only imagine the pain that she felt, especially as she watched Jesus crucified on Calvary's Hill. Now, for as many difficulties that Mary had to deal with, I also want to take the time to point out that Mary also had some resources that helped her. And here are some of them. First of all, Mary was doing God's will. Take a look at the passage again, Luke chapter 1, look at verse 38. You remember how Mary responded to all of this new information that this angel had just told her? What did she say? Look at verse 38. She says, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Listen, there is something reassuring in knowing that you're acting in harmony with the will of God. Everything else may be falling apart, but if you know that you're doing what God wants you to do, there's something very reassuring about that. Agreed? James Keller once said, every mother has the breathtaking privilege of sharing with God in the creation of a new life. She helps bring into existence a soul that will last for all eternity. Listen, parents, this morning I want to encourage you to realize that our greatest responsibility as parents is to raise our children to know Jesus Christ. Our greatest responsibility as parents is to raise our children to accept the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior so that he or she can live for all eternity with him. You see, if we succeed there, we're successful. And we're responsible, not the babysitter, not the nanny, not the school teacher or the school system, not any club volunteers. We as parents are responsible for the souls of our children. So first, there's something very special about knowing you're in harmony with God's will. Second, Mary had a supportive husband for at least 12 years. I know this is Mother's Day, and my focus is mostly on mothers this morning, but husbands, listen up for a moment. One of the best things that we can do as husbands is to support our wives. Let them know that we love them and that we're standing with them and that we are supporting them in virtually every decision that they make. Some time ago, I read a story about a comedian, Jack Benny. I realize that some of you older folks remember him. Apparently, when he was young, he was rather shy. I can't imagine that, but anyways, he was. And one day at work, he saw a young lady that really attracted his attention. But he was too shy to speak to her. And so he went to a florist and he ordered one red rose to be sent to her without any card enclosed. And every day he repeated that order. Well, after 4 days of receiving one red rose each day, this young lady eventually went to the florist and she asked the guy, you know, who's sending these roses? And the florist told her that it was some guy who worked where she did by the name of Jack Benny. And she said, yeah, I think I know who he is. So she searched Jack out and she asked him why he was sending her all these roses. He told her that he wanted to ask her out and she accepted his invitation. Time passed, other dates followed, and still every day she continued to receive one red rose. Then Jack and Mary got engaged, and Mary figured that the red roses would stop, but still they came. Finally, they were married, and even on their honeymoon, she continued to receive one red rose each day. Mary figured once the honeymoon was over, the roses would stop, but month after month, year after year, all of their married life, every day without fail, she received a red rose. Finally, Jack Benny died. But the very next day, as usual, a red rose was delivered. Now, at that point, Mary figured that maybe the florist somehow hadn't heard. And so she called up the florist to tell him of Jack's death and that he could now stop sending the roses. But he answered and said, you don't understand. Before he died, Jack made all the arrangements. You're going to receive one red rose every day for the rest of your life. Listen, man, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not saying, send your wife a red rose every day. But if you start showing your wife some attention, she may not know how to react. So first, Mary was doing God's will. Second, she had a supportive husband for at least 12 years. Here's a third resource that Mary had. She had a close, understanding friend. She did. When you read beyond the passage that we read this morning, we discover that Mary went to see Elizabeth, who was a relative years older than Mary. And you know that these two shared similar experiences, because Elizabeth too was expecting a child, and her child was also a miraculous birth. We're not told how old Elizabeth was when she gave birth to John, but the Bible tells us that she was way past the normal age of childbearing. And yet God, in his sovereignty, decided that he would pave the way for Elizabeth to figure into his story. In fact, when you read the passage, you discover in a hurry that Elizabeth served as an encourager to Mary during those difficult days that Mary faced. And you know something? I'm more convinced than ever that with marriages breaking apart, with lives getting washed out, that there is a tremendous need for extended family. Listen, it's a good thing when we take the time to visit with family and when we visit with friends. It's time well spent when aunts and uncles and grandparents get involved in the lives of their nieces and nephews and grandsons and granddaughters. And if you don't have nieces and nephews, if you don't have any grandkids, maybe it's time to find a family. Maybe it's time to invest in a family that really needs a word of encouragement from time to time, that really could use some support, that really needs a mature person around. After all, we're all brothers and sisters, right? In Jesus. We're all part of the same family. So look around. Maybe there may be somebody out there who really needs a word of encouragement from you. And maybe there's an older woman here who could put her arm around a younger woman and say, you know, I know how tough things are, but I want you to know I'm here for you. Is there anything I can do that would be helpful? Or maybe you can call someone up and say, hey, why don't I babysit for you this week so that you and your hubby can get an evening out? I mean, wouldn't it be great if you could really begin to be that extended family? And maybe that's the reason why the writer of Hebrews wrote the words of Hebrews 10:25, where he says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Listen, we really need each other. Amen? And the church needs to be that kind of fellowship as we become an extended family for each other. And as the story goes, Mary was rewarded. She was there when Jesus was raised from the dead. She was among the 120 when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. She saw her other children accept Jesus as Messiah. And today she's in heaven as part of his kingdom. Let me add one more thing, because I know for a fact that for some of you, Mother's Day is a tough day. I know that on days like today, some people would simply choose to stay away from church. I've always considered Mother's Day to be a happy occasion, but that's not the case for everyone. If your mother has passed away, this might be a sad day for you. You may have memories of her, but you long once again to hear her words and to feel her presence. If you're childless, then you may feel particularly empty today. If you had a poor relationship with your mother, spending time arguing or fighting with each other, you might be here feeling guilty today. Or maybe you're here today and you have wayward children, rebellious children, children that have walked away from God. Maybe you have children who have rejected your prayers and words and counsel, and you feel like a failure. Or maybe you feel that you've disappointed God. The good news is that the Bible talks not just about imperfect earthly families and how we can help them, but the Bible also talks about the eternal family. Listen, to all who are His, one day we'll be with God, who is our Heavenly Father. And one day we'll be with Jesus. One day we'll be in a place of that great family of God, in that place that God has prepared for us through Jesus Christ. and there we'll live with him for eternity. In the meantime, though, we need to do everything we can to make our families the best they can be in our world that has lost its way to the glory of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for even this brief look at the life of Mary, who has modeled an amazing life and yet was also faced with many difficulties. And Lord, I want to just affirm mothers here today, parents who are struggling as they train and as they rear their children, that, Lord, you would give them the grace and the strength and the wherewithal to be the parents that they need to be in these days, during this time, for your glory. Lord, as we look around and as we remember to pray for those that are close to us, I pray that, Lord, we would do so on a regular basis because we need it. And in order for us to be able to shine the word of truth, the good news of the gospel into the lives of our children and to model it the way it needs to be modeled, I pray, God, for the strength and for the patience and for the love and for the understanding and for the willingness and for the sacrifice. God, give us your strength. Give mothers the wherewithal they need to be able to continue on this difficult road and lift their spirits today, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. I'm going to call